it's not a zero-sum game. We don't see it as that. I think there are many communities and audiences that were not being served by traditional newspapers, those who have been historically marginalized or overlooked. Newspapers never worked for them, and traditional newspapers, I just say, never worked for them. And so what we're seeing now is a community that that can support, three to four different publications that serve three to four different audiences. And so I think you're right. It is partially seeing a local reporter, getting to know them, knowing their name. But it's also, I think, organizations having more intentionality around who they are serving and why they are serving them that can build trust as well, because you actually feel like they are speaking to you and they understand you and your needs. And that is what I think is going to make all the difference.
Welcome to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Town News. Town News delivers solutions, services, and guidance empowering local media organizations to thrive in an ever-changing digital world. Contact Town News today to learn more how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at townnews.com. Annika Anand, welcome to the News Nirvana podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm a little excited about this one. I am, let's say I'm a new member of Lion Publishers. So I'm excited about this, to learn what Lion is, what it's doing, who it's for. You are the deputy director. I hope I got your title correct there.
That's correct. Yes.
I did a little pregame snooping. So I came.
You're a good journalist then. Well done. Welcome to Lion.
You know, it was a long time ago, but I was trained once a long, long time ago. Well, you and I did talk a couple weeks ago, just to kind of get to know each other a little bit and see where we might have some good conversations for this episode. But what really strikes me, what I like, is not only is Lion looking to help where there are some, you know, the new industry term is the news deserts, but as more and more independent operations are popping up, Lion's focus seems to be this kind of melding of the journalistic and the business side of things. And that excites me a little bit, because I think that's what the industry's needed for a really long time, is while the sacred wall is sacred for a reason, it's also prevented us, I think, from finding sustainability in a lot of communities, because we strayed from ever going too far one way or the other. And, you know, finding the grayness is probably important.
I think that's totally right. Yeah. And, you know, as well as I do, we hear this word sustainability thrown around a lot in our industry. And sometimes I think, you know, we use that word because it's the word everyone else is using, and it sounds like the word we should be using, and that sounds like it should be the goal. But, you know, one thing I've learned in this role at Lion so far is we could really use some clear definitions around what sustainability means, how to measure it, so we can work backwards from that, really, right? I mean, we need to understand how we're measuring it, so then we can design trainings to help people get there. And that's been a big part of my work for the last couple of years at Lion.
Well, let's start there a little bit then. So how are you defining a sustainable newspaper?
Yeah, you know, we think, obviously, the money, the financials is core to sustainability. I think that's often what people are talking about when they use that word, because they're thinking about, you know, the longevity of an organization.
But we all forget that it's a business.
It's a business. It's a business at its core, whether you're a nonprofit or a for-profit, whether you're a solopreneur or employing a full team of people, you are trying to make enough of a living to put food on the table for your family, and provide a valuable service to a community of readers, listeners, subscribers, so that you're providing a real value for them. So The way that we think about sustainability is kind of like a Venn diagram. So three different buckets. We have this financial health piece, which I touched on. There's also the journalistic impact piece. So obviously, again, wanting to make sure you're having a net positive effect on the community that you're serving through your journalism. And then there's this operational resilience piece, which I think often gets lost in the conversation sometimes. And, you know, that's everything from, do you have a founder succession plan? You know, if you had to walk away from this thing for a couple of weeks for vacation, or maybe you're planning to walk away, you know, in the next couple of years, could this thing live on without you? It's the burnout question. It's, you know, are the people you're employing, are you yourself able to do this work sustainably for a long period of time and take care of yourself as well as, again, provide that service to your community? It's questions around diversity and equity and inclusion. Does your staff look like the community that you're serving? Are you being inclusive in the way that you're building your team as well as the way you're serving your audience? So it's all of these questions around the way your systems and operations work. And, you know, I do think there have been more conversations in the last few years about the importance of revenue and, you know, generating actual dollars that news organizations need to be doing. But alongside that, there are some really important operations questions as well that I don't think we've dug deep enough, you know, into as an industry.
But and I think that's probably going to be really important, because whether you come up, if you're opening, you know, starting your independent as a former newspaper person or news person, right? And if you come up through the editorial side, you're probably not going to think much about the ads and the revenue. Or the vice versa, though, right? You still probably the processes part are probably the hidden piece that I think, because we all focus on what we know, the tunnel vision that we have throughout our careers. So somehow finding that piece really to blend in is gonna be that silver bullet, I guess, to make this work and to hit. We got to find another word. You're right, another word than sustainability, because it means so much. It's such a big, broad spectrum of a word, I think with this. I'm curious, are you beginning to get to a point where you feel like you're getting a playbook for processes?
Whew, I think we're getting closer. You know, one way that we've been trying to think about it is, you know, there are small businesses across the country that, you know, they get loans from banks, they get support from their chamber of commerce, they have templates they can find on the SBA website. So what are the parallels of those resources that we could apply to the news industry specifically? Again, whether you're a for-profit or nonprofit, what are those similar resources that we can replicate or adapt or build on in some way for a journalism context? And so we are thinking about what those playbooks look like for how to find a payroll provider, right? Like, this is like the boring, nitty-gritty stuff that nobody wants to deal with until they realize that, oh, wow, like I have an opportunity to make some really big dollars here, but I got to hire someone to do this work. Right. Oh, how do I pay them? Oh, I need to give them benefits, right? Like, there's just all these questions that come out of the ambitions, the big ambitions that small business owners have and that small news business owners have too. So we're thinking now about how to provide those resources, whether it's templates, trainings, one-on-one consulting, and just make it available to as many of these small business owners in the news industry as possible, because it's such a needed resource.
You've been at Lion around 2 years. It's, as a group, it's probably around a decade, around 10 years old, right? Do you think that's the biggest question, the biggest ask you get from news startups is how do I pay people? How do I do benefits? Those nitty gritty things?
You know, I think we often get folks backing into that question, right? The question,
the entrepreneurial folks, way.
Yes, exactly, right? The question we most often get is, where do we get money? How do we find money? Can you put us in touch with a funder? You know, do you have some extra dollars lying around you can throw to us? And I totally get it, right? Like, people are trying to figure out where the dollars come from and how to generate revenue. So, you know, often the questions start there. We ask a few more questions about their business, what their long-term goals are, you know, how they're thinking of building. And then we start getting, you know, then we start backing into questions like, you know, how do I get media liability insurance? You know, where can I get some legal help? You know, what's a good hiring process? So, it's very natural for, I think, the questions to evolve that way, but, we're trying to now think about how we talk about the resources we offer so that folks understand that the starting place is actually here. And then you work your way up to understanding these bigger questions about, generating revenue and, you know, hiring a bigger team and that sort of stuff.
Well, let's get in on the resources then and what you're offering. So if people do have a startup, what are they getting? How are they reaching out to you? And what are those resources that are available?
Yeah, so for existing independent news publishers, and these are folks that are primarily have a digital news publication. So they have websites, podcasts, newsletters, but they are primarily publishing on digital platforms. So those folks, we offer two different programs right now that we just started running this year, and we hope we can do them again in the future. So one is the Startups Lab, which is in partnership with the Google News Initiative. We accepted a small group of folks into that program, and over the course of 6 months, understood as much as we could about them to get them to the path of sustainability. Talked a lot about revenue experiments they could run and how they're measuring the success of that work. So that's been a really interesting learning experience. We've gotten a ton out of that, just better understanding existing publishers' needs. The other program we're running right now is the News Revenue Fellowship. And so that's with the support of the Facebook Journalism Project. And the idea behind that is that we provide some of this operational resilience training and then give each organization accepted into this cohort enough money to hire someone in a revenue generation role so that they can make that position sustainable within, you know, 2 years of receiving that money. And then hopefully, you know, be able to generate more revenue for the organization. Oftentimes we hear that the biggest hurdle for organizations is just getting that first person in a revenue position so that they can start focusing on that, right? It's a big need. It's a really big need. So we're
And I'm one of those that came up on the editorial side, right? So when I started on my own, what's the hardest thing? You know, the hardest thing for me to do is that revenue part. I can go make content all day.
Right.
But it takes me all day.
Right.
Go through the processes is necessary to keep generating revenue. And so that was actually one of the things I was really excited about when I first heard about Lion, and I got in and I heard about that program. I'm like, oh, that's an answer so many of us are going to need.
Yeah. And we, it is really interesting, right? Like I'm talking about this operational resilience piece, and I do think it depends on the kind of publication or the kind of organization you're trying to launch. There are plenty of folks who are solopreneurs who are just focused on the journalism, who have a dedicated audience. They go to platforms like Substack, for example, and they take care of most of the back end stuff that you need, right? Still, many of those folks are either getting benefits, you know, through a partner or you know, paying out of pocket separately for it. So that part of the puzzle still needs some work, but there are ways to I think be a solopreneur, and if you have a really loyal, dedicated audience, to use some of these new platforms that have popped up to take care of some of those operational pieces. But if you're someone that really is trying to build a team of people to serve a community, to generate journalism on a regular basis, to answer people's questions, to try and serve the community in a way that, you know, maybe the newspaper once did there, you are going to run into these bigger questions about how to build a business. And that's where I think, you know, Lion can step in and provide some of those resources.
I think the biggest thing I did for me and my small publication was I went to somebody who had no clue about journalism and newspapers and had them help with the business plan.
Makes a lot of sense.
And that was super successful in like agriculture and lawn care, but just having that outside perspective and somebody who would only think about the business plan instead of me with my pie in the sky journalistic ambitions, right? that was probably for me, that was the best thing. And I think that's where I got a little excited learning about Lion, that, oh, here's a group that's maybe going to provide some of that knowledge available for others. Cause you know, not everybody can just walk down the street and meet that guy that they can pull in.
Totally. Yeah. And yeah, like I said, it's about, pulling in those perspectives from outside our industry and then making it relevant for a journalism context. And I think that's where we're trying to figure out the best way to adapt those resources and give them to folks. I think there is also something unique about journalism businesses in that they are serving different audiences in different locations with different needs. And so there isn't necessarily a one size fits all. There has to be some sort of structure that we create, and then folks understand how to work within that structure to build their business. And that's going to take a little bit more thought on our part, but it's definitely something that we want to provide to members in the long term.
Another piece of it that I thought was attractive, it feels like you're building almost though a collective resource, to where there just becomes this, you know, transformers, combiners, right? You know, a brain pool of talent. Well, for listeners of this show of a certain age, you know, but I think that collective aspect of it, to where there's just a place where everybody doing the same thing. Some have done it longer, some have found success at it and able to just figure it out together.
It's just really good documentation, right? It's just, one member shares a resource over here. We bookmark it, pull it into a place, tag it as, you know, media kit template. Another member shares another media kit template. 2 weeks later, we pull that in. It's just a lot of that kind of aggregation of work that others are doing and pulling it into like one central repository. It's not sexy work. It's tedious. It's, you know, very step-by-step building blocks kind of way.
Nobody wants to be the aggregator.
No one wants to be the aggregator. And yet, you know, that's something we did with our G&I Startups Playbook, is we wrote this pretty comprehensive, you know, step-by-step guide to how to launch a new startup. And there's this section at the end that we call starter packs, where we provide templates and resources from actual Lion members who were generous enough to share like business plans with us, and other types of resources that folks can just literally like make a Google Doc copy of and then adapt for themselves. So as much as we can keep pulling those kinds of resources and centralizing them, I think it's gonna be really useful for folks in the long term.
How have you been able to create the partnerships as a small startup association of startups? Have you been able to kind of connect with Google and Facebook? These are some pretty big initiatives that you've got going. How do those connections happen?
Yeah. You know, we were fortunate with the Google News Initiative that we got connected to them through this project that we did called Project Oasis. The idea was to do a real survey of the independent news field, local independent news field, and understand what the needs were and kind of map out the ecosystem. And then from that, we created the playbook. And it's honestly, it's been a really great collaborative relationship. They are generally genuinely interested in understanding what the future of journalism looks like if it's being built by these independent news founders, and they really want to understand that better. And I think hopefully, you know, invest in that longer term. Same for Facebook as well. We got connected with them a little bit later on after we had started doing some of that work with the Google News Initiative. And they also are just really interested in figuring out how to promote more independent creators and support their work. And so we're excited to have that support. And we think that those dollars can be really transformative for this part of the journalism industry.
The News Nirvana podcast is brought to you by Town News, the creators of IQ Audience Plus. IQ Audience Plus replaces your old school, one-size-fits-all paywall with a smarter metering solution that targets visitors with custom offers, converting drive-bys into paying subscribers. Learn more at townnews.com/audience.
Do you think that this independent operator, this model is, I guess, where's its place going to be as our industry changes? You know, we've been watching the Metro struggle for a long time. Some of them seem to be adjusting better than others. We don't have to get into the talk about the chains and who owns what and what they're doing. But I guess, where do you see the place? And I'm going to say this, I did a little snooping. I saw your education background. Mm-hmm. That's usually not the person that ends up working with a bunch of online startup newspapers, right? So I guess I'm kind of wondering what attracted you and where you think that place is going to be.
Yeah. You know, our executive director, Chris Crewson, actually wrote a really great post about this recently, because we would get this question all the time. And, you know, what we would hear is, well, yeah, okay, independent news is cool or whatever, but is it going to be able to replace newspapers? You know, is it going to be able to replace what we've lost by the decline of newspapers? And our answer to that is, that's the wrong question to be asking. What we think is going to happen is kind of an unbundling of content and of local news and you know, more broadly what we're seeing with the internet as a whole. We think we're going to see a lot more folks launch publications that are focused on very specific communities based on their interests, based on certain topics. And there's going to be a real ecosystem of small independent news publications that work in a much more collaborative way to serve a community. And the example that Chris actually gives in this essay that he wrote, which I would really encourage folks to check out, is in Chicago, where we're seeing there's a quite a few Lion members there who are serving very different communities, but work very collaboratively across Chicago. And it's a really cool ecosystem over there. They've really figured it out, and it's not competitive in any way. It's and all of them are doing, you know, they're what I would call on the path to sustainability. And I hope that we can see more of that in other parts of the country. And that's really what attracted me to this work is I worked for, I have worked for traditional news organizations. I've also worked for independent news startups. And at the end of the day, I'm just really invigorated by the potential for building something new and for creating an ecosystem that is much more collaborative and just sees the bigger picture of the impact it wants to have as a whole, rather than, you know, based on an individual publication's goals and their kind of self-interest on their own.
Before I get to my follow-up on that, because I kind of have a comment in there too.
Yeah.
Where can people find that essay you're talking about? Is that on the Lion website?
It is, yeah. So if you go to lionpublishers.com, L-I-O-N publishers.com. You can read that essay by Chris. And yeah, it's a really good rundown of how we are thinking about the future of what the independent news ecosystem could look like.
I really like the idea. And obviously I'm one of them, so of course I like it. But what I see is, and I've talked about this on some of the other episodes of this show with some other guests, but I see this as a really good way for the industry to combat the giant narrative of mistrust with the media. And I heard, I wish I could remember the reporter in the interview that I heard this from, but I heard a great line that part of the reason we've lost that trust is because we've lost the local reporter. Yeah. And that's where, you know, when you know the reporter by name, you see them at the high school football game on a Friday night, or the city council or the school board meeting or wherever covering the parade, you get to know them. And then it's easier to relate to than the Metro reporter, the TV anchor, the on up to those national things. And that's where I think these can fill in, because we can start knowing who the reporters are in our backyard and who's, you know, nobody's really telling those stories in a lot of towns now. And so now you have it. You have that connection again. It's not going to kill, you know, other publications, but it's going to really fill. I think that's the hole, right? That's the hole that needs to be filled.
I think that's right. It's not a zero-sum game. We don't see it as that. I think there are many communities and audiences that were not being served by traditional newspapers, those who have been historically marginalized or overlooked. Newspapers never worked for them. And traditional newspapers, I just say, never worked for them. And so what we're seeing now is a community that that can support, three to four different publications that serve three to four different audiences. And so I think you're right. It is partially seeing a local reporter, getting to know them, knowing their name. But it's also, I think, organizations having more intentionality around who they are serving and why they are serving them, that can build trust as well, because you actually feel like they are speaking to you and they understand you and your needs. And that is what I think is going to make all the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm going to draw a blank on you right now and not be able to remember again.
That's okay.
I was discussing with somebody in California who has another of their startup as well. And we both had very similar kind of pillars that we try to base everything on. And I'll throw mine out. Not that I think mine is perfect, but I run everything by three things. So it's telling local stories, promoting local business, and serving the community. And if a story, if a revenue project, any of it, if they don't meet those things, there's no point in doing it, because the role is not just to be the local newspaper. You've got to have an impact. And I think we all, maybe this is just the old romantic side of me, but the newspapers were a part of the community they served. And I kind of want to get back to that.
I think that's right. Yeah. Yeah. There's a kind of nerdy product.
I'm okay with nerd and romance. We're okay with that.
We can get a little nerdy. I won't get super technical on it, but there's a kind of like product development exercise that we preach in our playbook and that we preach to aspiring news entrepreneurs, called Jobs to be Done. And I won't go into all the specifics of it, but the basic idea is that your audience, your readers, are hiring you as a news publication to do a job for them. So what is that job? And I think historically, we've just thought of the job as writing news stories. And I just don't think that's enough. I think we have to get really specific about it. We have to say, okay, maybe as a reader, I it's Friday night, I want to go out in town, I need to figure out what a new restaurant is, because I'm bored of all these other restaurants I've been to. Where am I going to go to learn about that? Oh, maybe my local news publication has a section about new restaurants in town, right? There's actually a great website called Infatuation. I don't know if you've checked this out. They
I need to.
It's a food website, food reviews and that sort of stuff. But they do an amazing, like, they're a great example of jobs to be done. The roundups that they do are like, places to go when it's raining outside, but you have to get out of the house with your kids. Like, that is a job to be done. And they would tell you, we've all been there, right? It's so relatable. It speaks to exactly what you're feeling in that moment. And you look at that list and you're like, oh, this is amazing. I have five places I could go to right now, right? So this is an example of the idea of just being really, really useful and indispensable to readers. And, it's a more lifestyle kind of features example, but it can be also applied to the way that we cover politics, to the way we think about public policy, infrastructure change in our towns, the way we get connected to other people in professional settings. So I think that there's really an opportunity to kind of build from scratch when it comes to independent news startups, thinking about what their editorial strategy is and how they are going to be most useful to the community of readers they're serving.
Well, and I like that it's a new approach or a new way to approach those, because all those things you just talked about are the things that young reporters hated getting stuck with, right? On their, in the old legacy print publication. Because there was really only one way to present that package, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could only dress it up so much, but with all of the different tools that we have now for digital publishing, I mean, you can go podcast, you can go video, you can do little sound bites and different, there's just so many ways that you can now repackage it and have fun with a list of things to do when it's raining and you got to get your kids out of the house, which is, you're right,
yes,
a thing that every single one of us with kids has been there.
Yep.
but now you can have a little fun with, or maybe it's, we're allowing ourselves to have fun again with those kind of packages.
And I think that's right. I mean, I do think there's a part of it that's like, there's more fun ways to present that information online, you know, as opposed to a print paper. I also think it's a little bit of this, you know, traditional journalism mentality. As a young reporter, you want to be on the capital J journalism stories. You want to report right. The important news. Don't stick me with the weather story. Don't tell me to go out and talk to people about, you know, the local carnival or whatever. And I think, you know, even the phrase news you can use kind of has a negative connotation. I mean, I remember that from, right. from my journalism days. But that is actually what I think we need to get back to is news you can use in a way that can be substantive as well as delightful for folks, whether it's covering the local carnival or covering the local mayoral race. I really do think there's a way to do that without, you know, just the blanket, we got to write some news stories today. And again, that's just where I think the fun opportunity lies.
Well, I like one of the examples you just used was the local mayoral race. And I'll tell you one of the things over the last few years that I have had the most fun with, we're going to get nerdy, right? Yes. Is the process story. I mm-hmm. feel like doing a lot of my content through podcasting or video, though, it's allowed to dig in and remind people of process, of how right. these things that we're debating about, we're voting on, all these things, how it actually works and why, you know, why it matters, why you should be an informed and involved voter or member of your community. And right. all of a sudden it's not the nerdy process story that's taking away from the action. It really is a helpful tool.
That's right.
I don't know, I'm a nerd, but it's kind of fun.
I like to think of them as the explainer stories. It's one of my favorite things to write in journalism, just trying to take these really complex bureaucratic processes and break down why they matter. And I think that we've seen a lot of local news publications have a lot of success with that, actually. And I think it's going to be something that is really at the heart of making you know, local news content really relatable and useful for audiences.
I want to switch gears just a little bit because I want to get to another topic and another program that Lion's doing. And I know you have a little bit of a deadline. We're gonna get back to kids. You got to go with kids.
That's right.
but I want to talk a little bit about the Tiny News Collective and yes. what this is. And it's a little shift from what we just talked about with your independent publishers. This isn't exactly a Lion initiative, right? You're partnering with some other people?
That's right. Yeah. So we, I think as I mentioned, for our existing news publishers, we have the GNI Startups Lab, the FJP News Revenue Fellowship Program. And for our aspiring entrepreneurs, we have two other programs. So one is the GNI Startups Bootcamp. We just closed the round of applications for that. And that's where we accept up to 24 aspiring news entrepreneurs for an 8-week bootcamp. And they actually go through step by step, week by week, the process of launching something. And then we've partnered with News Catalyst on the Tiny News Collective. And it's this really ambitious, big, creative idea to reduce the barriers as much as possible for a local newsroom to launch. And we're particularly interested in supporting founders who've been historically excluded from media and media ownership. So the idea here is we are helping them build a business from scratch and provide long-term support to them. You know, we've just accepted the first 6 organizations of our first cohort. There's still lots of kinks to work out with this, but the basic idea is that we're going to provide them with some training. We have a technology platform that they will use to launch their website. It makes it as simple as possible to get a website up and running without having to, you know, shop around and install 100 different WordPress themes. I know we've all been there. And then, you know, also the community aspect of it, the peer learning aspect of it, which is so important, even for our existing Lion members, and then a little bit of capital investment just to help them get a little bit of runway and get started. We really hope we can bolster that more in the future. That's that capital piece and that starting, you know, runway dollars are just so important. And so I'm hoping that we can do more with that in the future, but we are providing, you know, each organization with a $15,000 stipend to get started in this first cohort.
Well, the money obviously is always important, but I'm most intrigued actually by the website piece. So when I first launched, I was using Squarespace, which I'm not going to bash Squarespace at all. They're beautiful. The templates are always beautiful.
But for a new site.
Right. Everything works, except for it's not meant to be a news site.
Right.
And when I switched to something else, I can't even explain the difference it made to finally move to a website that was built for news.
Right.
That was built to not only pass along news to audience, but it was meant to work with business sponsors and advertisers, and all of that stuff just worked. And so I think in addition to money, one of the biggest things you're on there is going to be, hey, here's a website tool built for delivering news.
That's right. Yeah. And built for delivering news, and to the other points you made as well, incorporates a donations platform, incorporates advertising, a membership, a way of collecting membership dollars, advertising memberships. So we're really thinking about the revenue pieces that need to be in place alongside the content delivery pieces as well.
Well, I want to wrap things up a little bit in addition to just thanking you for giving us a little time and telling us all about Lion and what they're doing. I just want to hit you with just one last kind of fun question. It's not even a big question at all, but just, you seem excited about the industry. So tell me what you're excited about. What kind of the future is catching you?
Or
are you just always kind of chipper?
Oh, I am not always chipper. No. You're catching me on a day where I've actually had some time to do some big sky thinking. And so I'm feeling a little more chipper than usual, I should say. I think what's most exciting to me right now is this defining sustainability piece. Just the idea of having a roadmap that we can work backwards from, just having some standard metrics that we can hopefully, most of us in the industry can agree that, yes, this is what sustainability looks like. There's just so much back and forth on, what does it mean to be a successful news publication? What does success look like? And to me, that is the sustainability question, is, we're trying to define what success looks like. And I think once we can really pin that down, and of course, understanding, again, it's not a one size fits all for everyone. It's a structure, not exact metrics, that we need to head toward. But really pinning down what success looks like and how we can start working backwards from that just makes my process and systems brain so happy, because it just, it feels like we have a plan. And I just think for so long in this industry, it's been no plan and lots of flailing, and not to say that, this is the answer to all our problems, but it feels like a really promising first step. And so I'm happy that we're working on that challenge, and hopefully we can talk to more smart people who are working on that challenge and get closer to providing the kind of support that can help people really build long careers in journalism. I mean, that's the thing that I'm really excited about, is just keeping more people in this industry.
You are excited to be the aggregator, right?
I'm excited to be the aggregator.
We've all been throwing darts at the wall.
Documentation aggregation. That's my entire job.
Well, I want to do this one more time. How can people find, follow Lion?
Yes. So lionpublishers.com is our website, lionpublishers.com. You will come to our homepage. We have a few different options for folks, whether you're just wanting to launch something, whether you're an existing independent news publisher, or whether you're just interested in learning about journalism entrepreneurship. We have three really clear icons on that page that'll take you to a very succinct one page of resources, depending on where you're at in your entrepreneurial journey. So check it out. We offer membership as well, which gets you, access to the Lion community, all the peer learning that we're doing, and we're launching even more benefits over the course of the next year.
It's a really low fee.
You're right. We want to keep it accessible for folks. We really want to make sure that folks who want to do this can do it, and Lion membership shouldn't be a barrier to that. So Yeah. And yeah,
on the socials? Can people follow you on the
socials? We're on the socials. We're on the Twitter. We actually have our own podcast. We might have to talk about that sometime, but we have a podcast called News Guest where we interview independent local news publishers and understand how they're thinking about sustainability. So that's kind of the big topic there. And we have a newsletter as well, which you can sign up for on our website. It's free, it's weekly, and it is the best aggregation that we can do.
Awesome. Well, I'm making a note. I'm going to go listen to News Guest. I'm going to add that onto my playlist. There awesome. We go. And you can find the News Nirvana podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favorite podcast apps. Annika, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. This was great.
The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Town News. Connect with Town News at townnews.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act,